Yo, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for listening to the very first episode of Debate the Music. This is just a music podcast where we debate different albums, mixtapes, talk about all the recent headlines and music, as far as hip hop, R&B, a little bit of pop culture stuff as well. Got my host. Introduce yourself.
What's going on, world? I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Without further ado, my name is Pierre. I can be reached on Twitter at KingTail21 or on Instagram at KingTail21.
Cool, man. We have some recent albums dropping, but the first dude we got to talk about obviously is Future. Cause this nigga done dropped two albums in a week. Like Future, he just been in the studios, just putting everything he can out, man. Have you listened to the Future music just yet?
Man, I couldn't even finish with the first album before he dropped the other one. And it was crazy because I was at work and I'm listening to it. And then I get an alert saying that he's dropping another one. So I'm thinking, nah, this dude is playing. And
I thought the same thing. I'm like, nah, man, it's just rumors. You know how the blogs be
little do we
talking.
know, man, he just hit us with another one, just out the blue.
I listened to the first one. I actually liked the first one. I think it was good. I really do. The second one was, it had a few decent songs, but it just seemed like a really rushed project.
The
You know what I'm saying?
first one, when I heard Rent Money, I couldn't listen to nothing else, because it's just like, it just, when you listen to an album, you want to make sure the introduction is so strong, and he delivered.
Yeah.
Touching on the Hendrix one, the one I just dropped today, it's a little more melodic and soulful, so it's not normally what people are accustomed to. I kind of dig it, but then again, I understand the feedback that it's getting, like, oh well, it does feel rushed. It's kind of like when Rick Ross was dropping, not to get off subject, but when Rick Ross was dropping multiple projects, he didn't give his first one a chance to get out there in the airwave, and then you dropping another one behind it. That's not, to me, that's not a good look.
Yeah, it's not. But I know you heard about the whole issue with him and Rocco, and Future basically got TLC. Like he signed to three different people that's signed to somebody else. And man, that dude, he basically don't, all the money he's making ain't really his money. He got to pay Rocco from his tour revenue, from his album sales, pretty much everything. That's, he said it's not why he put the music out so fast, but it's clear that that's exactly why he put it out so fast. Because Rocco was literally in his pocket on everything he do right now. He can't
Right.
get paid for autograph signings or nothing. So
Right.
you gotta get it out there fast. Get from under that terrible deal.
It is a terrible deal, and I feel like Rocco is being a stubborn big brother. Like, oh, I'll put you on, but your buzz is higher than mine, so I want what you're getting. And it's like, come on, man. Let that man do what he does. And the Hendrick project probably was something where he's like, I'm gonna just throw some bullshit out just to get this nigga out of my pocket, and then I'm gonna go back into my underground lane. Because it was a couple of headlines a week ago when the album was dropping, the Future album, that he wanted to go back to underground, to where he wanted to be more how he was when he first came out.
He was successful with
Exactly. This man had the Dirty Sprite project, not DS2, but Dirty Sprite. He
man.
had Streets Is Calling. Some of my other Future fans know which ones I'm talking about as well. So I think he's just trying to, it's like a hush album. Here, Rocco, take your money, get out of here.
Right, me personally, I respect him for doing that. I think that that is smart as hell. That's something I would do just to get you away from me, because just you already in a situation, so that's kind of like the best way of dealing with it. Like, it's better to do that than to be sitting around complaining and bitching about it. So it's smart to kind of just get out of the deal as fast as possible, man. So
No disrespect to Rocco, but he had one album, so, and he had what, four good songs? Not on the album, but four good songs in total. And his best song was You Don't Even Know It. And who was on the chorus?
Future.
Exactly. So without Future, the song wouldn't have been anything. So if anything, you should be paying him.
Hey, honestly, I wanted to say that about Rocco on Twitter, on the timeline, but I don't know enough about Rocco to just say that. And you know how dudes be having
Rock
them undercover fans and they pop up out of nowhere, like.
Rocco is he's underground. I've listened to his project Self-Made, you know, the song I'ma Do Me. It was pretty decent back then. I think around that time I was in high school, I want to recall 11th grade. And it was pretty solid, but Rocco's more known for dating Monica. And when they broke up, his career kind of faltered. Man. And he's been bitter since she got with Shannon Brown, and now Future's surpassing him. The first time I heard Future was on that Rack song with the guy YC.
Yeah, so I remember that.
That was the first song I heard featured on. So I said, oh, let me check this guy out and see what his music is like. And, you know, here it is today. He's one of the best in the game. Not lyrically, let's be clear.
Yeah.
Not the best lyrically, but his buzz.
Yeah, so, one thing we got to do is stop putting, when we say somebody's the best in the game, we got to put him in we got to put him in a correct category. When we say Future's one of the best in the game, like, I hate when people think you mean lyrically. Oh, he's not better than J. Cole. No. Future is one of the best trap rappers, like, ever. Like, he goes in a category with Young Jeezy, T.I. Right. Like, he belongs over there. He don't belong with lyricists like J. Cole and Kendrick. Come on, man.
And when he features with other artists, it's not the J. Cole's or the Kendrick's. It's the Jeezy's, the Rick Ross's.
Exactly.
The Gucci Man. Speaking of Gucci Man, oh my goodness. If there's anybody hot other than Future, it has to be this man. This man got out of jail. He was like Kobe of the rap game. He just was putting up shots.
Man, I'm saying his albums,
you know? Everywhere. He got out of jail. You know, most rappers that get out of jail, they falter. They go back and they end up doing something stupid to get. But Gucci Man, he lost weight. He dropped, like, if I recall, 5 projects. And I'm going to be honest, not all of them are great, but they all have some bangers on them.
Yeah, that's one. But, I mean, let's be honest, it's hard to put out a bunch of projects and all of them be good. Like, that's impossible to put out 5 albums in a year, you know? And so it makes sense, but I do get what you're saying. Gucci has been he hit hard when he came out.
He hit hard. He came back like, look, I lost this amount of time. I'm coming back for what I lost. And you can't help but respect him.
Yeah, you got to respect that grind, because a lot of rappers, I don't even think, not necessarily all of them go do something stupid. I think a lot of them are just lazy. They get out and then they like, oh man, I'm fresh out. I'm about to chill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I respect them putting in that work. Oh man, Lil Wayne. I'm tired of Lil Wayne slander on the timeline, man. The young people don't know what Lil Wayne did for us, man. They don't know. They just remember the Lil Wayne from the last 5 years. They don't know about
Fireman Lil Wayne. Exactly. The Carter 2. That's the little one. That album, after that album, he just changed. Carter 3, he kind of lost me.
Yeah.
But it was decent.
Nah, I would say he was still alive too. Wait, when did No Ceilings drop? Was that before or after the Carter 3?
I want to say that was before the Carter 3, because that was around the time he was jacking the beats. Not necessarily jacking.
Yeah, you know, let me clear that up. Getting on him. Yeah,
he wasn't jacking him. He was actually making them better.
Oh yeah,
because he took that Swag Surfing beat and turned it into something. It was bananas. So I'm like, man, when I hear Swag Surfing, I don't even want to hear the regular song.
Right,
because every time it come on, I say No Ceiling. So you know, I just
what else he killed? Ice Cream Paint Job.
He killed Ice Cream Paint Job. He killed Nuck If You Buck with the Young Money crew.
Yeah, oh yeah. One of my favorite songs off of there though was that single song by Lil Wayne.
That is
one of my favorite. One of my favorite songs ever.
That song got everybody thinking they was single. If you was in a relationship and you played that song around your girl or your dude, you might as well just, you know.
Yeah, it's a rap. It's a rap.
What you trying to say? It's like he was sending a message,
man.
But you know, honestly, we as people tend to get caught up in music. We play a song. It could be subliminal for somebody you don't like, or you may be sending a message to your girl or your dude. But, you know.
I think I would go as far as to say that No Ceilings 1, the second one was trash, but the first one, that was honestly one of, I think, top 5 mixtapes ever.
No Ceilings 2 was trash. The last 2 Dedications were trash.
Yes.
No Ceilings 1, yeah, that would have to be his best mixtape to me. Then he lost me with that Rock album he did.
Oh man, that was really bad.
Although I did like Prom Queen. Okay,
that was acceptable.
But that, he lost me. And I don't know if you've been keeping up lately. This whole thing with him and Birdman gotta stop, man.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
I'm too grown for this. Like, that's my son. I love him. And then I read a couple days ago that, oh, you're gonna get the Carter 5 this year. To be honest, I'm not even looking forward to it.
Right. Because
it's been, what, 4 years now?
But,
and
let me pose this question to you. Let me ask you this. Could this be another situation? Because we see how his deal is as far as with Birdman and all that. Could Lil Wayne be putting out so much terrible music to get out of his deal the same way Future did?
He could be. And I honestly feel like more artists should take that approach. Like, if you're in a bad situation, don't give them your best work, because you'll get Grammys, you'll get BET Awards, you'll get all these awards for an album on a label that you don't even want to be on. There's been rumors for years that Lil Wayne wants to be with Roc Nation. And Roc Nation is kind of building an umbrella.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're grabbing everybody.
The latest signing, the Jim Jones one? Ooh, I don't know what you're doing, Jay. If you can hear this show, Jay-Z, I don't know why you signed Jim Jones. Maybe, I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is going to help Jim Jones a lot. I think this was more to help Jim Jones than Def Jam. I mean, look at Jim Jones and what he's been doing as far as rap, you know, with the reality TV thing. He just, usually when artists go to reality TV, their career is done and it's a bad look. So I feel like he's trying to get back out there as far as a rapper, as an artist goes. So I'm not mad at him making a move. I'm not mad at him trying, basically, you know.
Then I will go to say this. Jim Jones may be able to, now that he's in a stable situation with a great, maybe he will put out a decent album. You know, he has hits, We Fly High, Summer in Miami. So he's capable of it, but let's see what he's capable of now that he's on a, you know, in a more stable situation.
Oh yeah, Ballin was one of the biggest.
Man, Ballin had everybody doing the whole swish.
Yeah,
you know,
that was big.
Everybody. If you didn't like that song, something was wrong with you, because that was one of the biggest songs when it came out.
Yeah, that was big. So let me ask you about this that Big Sean album.
I Decided.
Yeah.
Coming into this album, before he announced it, before I even knew he was working on the other album, I listened to DSP, for those that don't know, Dark Sky Paradise. I listened to it so much that I just felt like, Big Sean, don't do nothing else for a while, because this album is so great and he's evolved so much from the Finally Famous mixtapes till now that this album can sit for a year or two. So when I finally heard he was putting out an album, I said, okay, well, what lane is he going to take? Considering that Kanye went and grabbed Designer, which we'll get to in a minute, the I Decided album, I like it. I feel like he's continuing to show his maturity as an artist. You know, the Bounce Back, the Move song, I think he just put those out for radio play. Also, if you go to the gym, if you play basketball, those are songs you can get pumped up to.
Yeah.
So, LeBron or Harden or whoever, I'm pretty sure they have those songs on their playlist. But the No Favorites song with Eminem, I hate to say it, Big Sean, but you shouldn't have did that. That Eminem killed you. It was like Renegade 2.0, basically. You know.
Yeah, Eminem was kind of, he went in. He just was in the booth going crazy. I like the album overall. I feel like it has a better message. Like, he is one of the few artists that I think are maturing. You know, he doesn't sound the same, because I've been a Big Sean fan since Finally Famous, since all the mixtapes and all that. Like, all
right, when he was going, I
remember all of that. Yeah, that was his little signature, man. And I've been a fan since then, so it's good to see him actually progress and not talk about the same thing and same visuals, but. Man, I really like the album.
So what's your favorite song on the album?
I like that Jump Out the Window song. Like, I like that one.
That is a great song to me. It is, because, and it's like the way the album opens up, it's like a story. And then if you notice the older voice talking to him, telling him, like, I think it was a song on there where his mom was calling and he didn't pick up. So then he dedicated one to his mom. The Jump Out the Window song is great. Another one that I like the voices in my head and the Stick to My Plan.
Yo, the transition on that song was amazing.
I have to give props to Metro Boomin, because he, I don't know how he did it, but he went from slow to slower, and then he just sped it up, and it just went in. And I was like, whoa, like, okay.
Yeah, that was crazy. I'm listening to it, and it switched, and it's like the beat and his voice went with it, and it was like in such perfect unison. Like, that was dope, man. That was super dope.
One more song that I really, really enjoy is Halfway Off the Balcony.
Oh, yeah, that was dope, too.
That message in that song is beyond anything I can say right now, because I don't know about you, but me, sometimes when I hear a song, I get chills. And that's how I know I can relate to what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just close my eyes and I visualize what I'm hearing. And Big Sean just make me want to get out there and just not, you know, why are you making excuses? If you're going to do something, man, just do it. You know, you're going to bump your head, but you got to get up and keep moving.
Man, and I heard him explain it on the Breakfast Club. He was talking about, and that song he referred to, you know, killing himself at one point in time, you know, suicide and all that. So it was just dope for him to send that message out. And the way he did it, he didn't just say it. Like, he put it in some, like, actual bars. So one thing I do want to say, though, I saw a lot of people talk a lot of crap about Big Sean. It was just annoying, because what I don't understand is why people disrespect artists they don't necessarily relate to. Like, I understand if you don't really relate to their music, but you can't say they trash. You know, if it's not your type of music, then it's just not your style. Like, for me, I'm not a big fan of Young Thug, you know, because that's not my lifestyle. I don't live that lifestyle. Like, I don't really do the stuff that he talks about. I'm not a fan of
The way you feel about Young Thug is the way I feel about Lil Yachty.
Oh my God, that's he in the same category.
What's the deal with mumble rap? Like,
I don't get it.
I can't say Lil Uzi because he has some songs I like, but what are you guys hoping to get out of this? Are you guys just doing this to make money? Or are you guys doing this because you have something to give to us as listeners for us to adapt to and help us in our everyday life? So when I hear people say, Big Sean is tight, but he ain't no Young Thug. What do you mean? Or what?
Yeah, it don't make sense. And I noticed that a lot of people who like the rappers like Young Thug, Lil Yachty, Uzi, people who like those artists don't like actual lyricists, which makes sense, because now I understand that you like this style of music. But because I don't like that style of music, I won't say, oh, he's trash or he suck. I won't say that. I would just say, okay, it's not for me. I don't want to hear it, like, ever. You'll never hear it in my car, none of that. That's all I'm saying.
Man, it'd be so bad. If I'm on Pandora or Spotify and some Young Thug come up, I'm pressing the down thumb. I mean, the beat, okay, I'll just find the instrumental. So, I mean, but you know, you get a lot of that these days. You get these dope producers, and they give these beats to these guys, and they don't even know what to do with them. And it's just like, oh, man, do you know what you could have did with this beat? You could have gave it to an actual rapper.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing I think we have as far as music goes is people can't admit when their favorite artist did something that, you know, wasn't so great. I'm a J. Cole fan. I can admit that that last album, For Your Eyes Only, was decent. It wasn't great. It wasn't amazing. It was decent. Nowhere near as good as Forest Hills Drive. Nowhere near as good. You know what I'm saying?
Man, so, when I heard For Your Eyes Only, I couldn't even get through the second song. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And I kind of feel like he's doing the same thing that Future's doing. Not trying to get out this Rock Nation deal, but maybe he's trying to see, okay, I'm going to see how I can do with the no features thing. And if it continues to work for me, I'll do it. But J. Cole, you need features, man. You got to do it. Because this last one, this For Your Eyes Only, it just wasn't for me. I tried. I seen buzz about it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I've seen people snapping about it. I couldn't get with it.
Yeah, he didn't have enough. He didn't have no hitters on there, really. I think Neighbors was good. Vill Mentality was good. It was just decent. It wasn't like, this album is great. Now, Forest Hills Drive, I can play that to this day from start to finish. But you got to be able to admit when your favorite artist makes music that's just whatever. And that album, honestly, was whatever. It wasn't like, oh, man, I got to keep this. It was just whatever, man. It wasn't a big deal. Like, if I had to pay for it, like, use my money, I wouldn't have bought that album. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think too many people can admit that when it comes to their favorite artists. Like, I don't really see too many people do that on the timeline. When I can admit, yeah, J. Cole was just average on that. He could have been so much better.
Oh, man, I feel the same way, man. That's how it is in music. You got to understand that your favorite artist isn't going to put out Grammy work every time. For example, Kanye West, that is one of the greatest, well, one of my favorite artists. I would say his worst album was 808s.
Yeah, I definitely agree. 808s was like, well, no, 808s was bad, but I think Yeezus was terrible. Like for me, Yeezus was like, it was just terrible. That was something, that was like torture music. But Life of Pablo, he came back with that. I think that album was amazing. That was dope.
That album got so much controversy because the album cover, for one, and everybody was like, well, who's Pablo? Who's Pablo? Is it Pablo Escobar? Is it Pablo Picasso? Is he just making up somebody named Pablo? But that was, to this day, I still listen to that album. And I think, like, there's not many albums that's up there with this album. This is just my opinion. It opened strong and then it closed strong. And it had something for everybody. It had the gospel rap. It had the, you know, techno Kanye that's using the samples. And then it also had the bar rap, the Real Friends, the No More Parties in LA. So it was all over the place.
Yeah, that album was, man, that was next level. I'm actually, like, I heard he's supposed to be dropping something new real soon, so I'm kind of waiting for that. But Kanye is one of those guys that no matter what he puts out, people are going to buy it. People are going to find a way to get to it. You know, people are going to figure that out because he's just one of those, I think, I like to call him not legendary, but he's like a classical artist. Like, he's going to always be around no matter what he puts out. Like, if Jay-Z put out an album right now, people are going to get it.
I know I will.
Exactly. And people love to talk about how artists suck, but I mean, hey, some people just have lasting power. They have staying power, like Fab. Fab has staying power. Hear that Trey Songz and... Wait, hold on. Just the fact that I'm mentioning Trey Songz, did you see he put out a fake little reality TV spoof?
I can't watch VH1 without seeing it, dude.
Man, it's, come on. To put out his next album, like, I get it. It's a kind of a smart marketing idea, but then again, it's corny to me. Like, that's lame. Just put your music out, dog. Like,
definitely.
You got a strong fan base. Why are you doing that? That's whack.
You definitely have a strong fan base. And then, not to mention that, what's up with this whole Keke Palmer thing? Like,
oh, wait. Hold on, bro. Dog, I saw that when it happened. They deleted the video, but I actually saw the video before they deleted it. So she was mad. He posted her in a video and she didn't give him consent to, supposedly. Supposedly he was pressuring her to do the video and all that. And she was like, no, he still put her up there.
Okay.
And
first question.
Wait, this is what's gonna kill you. Look, the video, she was only in there, bruh, literally for 3.5 seconds, and you can barely see her. Like, literally, you barely tell it's her. I had to watch it, like, play it back like 3 or 4 times to really spot her.
Yeah, not only that, but Keke, what's different from when you walking down the street and a fan is taping you, or paparazzi, than where you hanging out with a celebrity like Trey Songz and him taping you?
Right.
What, you mad because you didn't get paid for it? Then she had the nerve to say he used sexual, I don't know what, it was some type of sexual something she said.
They love that word, bro.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because she's trying to get paid. But Keke Palmer, that's not the way to go, ma. Like, you got your own little buzz. I heard a few of your songs. She has a very nice voice, but we all know Keke Palmer. When we think of Keke Palmer, we think of acting.
Yeah. Like, so. Her music is decent, but I just think it's lame to do that. And then he was on Trey Songz on Breakfast Club. He just explained that he didn't talk to her. He didn't talk to anybody in her team, nobody like that. So all that she was talking was bull, you know. And she just made herself look bad, in my opinion.
She made herself look bad because for 1 second, everybody was tuned in, tweeting about it. But now nobody cares anymore. You go on Wendy Williams, which is the worst person to go tell anything to. And now it's like an afterthought. Trey Songz, maybe, you know what? Maybe she's helping Trey Songz promote his album. You know what I mean?
Like, yo, that's what I was thinking. They might have helped each other, but...
Yeah, maybe she's doing that.
I still ain't checked out his new music. So, like, it's whatever to me, man. Like, if he ain't putting out none of that Neighbors Know My Name type stuff, I ain't really trying to hear it. I don't want to really hear him rap. You know what I'm saying?
The album he had... Was it Tremaine? Or no, not Tremaine. Was it Trigger or something?
Trigger, yeah.
When I heard that Cake, I was like, okay. But then when I heard Foreign, I said, okay, what are you doing?
Man. Like, if he just would stick to like, the Smartphone song, that was dope. That little
Smartphones was amazing.
Yeah, that Smartphones was amazing. That niggas can relate to that. Everybody got Absolutely. Caught up with their girl and their phone or something. Come on, man. That's relatable. I want to hear stuff like that.
The classic butt dialer.
Man, like, I want to hear music like that. I'm not really into hearing Nick. Like, his rapping is decent, yeah, but I don't want to hear a whole album of that. Like, the whole mixtape with him and Fab was him rapping? Like,
Not every R&B artist should try that. It works for Chris Brown because Chris Brown is in that lane. However, like, can you picture Tank trying to do that?
Like, yo, it's funny even thinking, I'm laughing even thinking of him doing that, man. That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody like Tyrese. Well, Tyrese can rap. Let me clear that up.
Hey, yeah, Tyrese got
has
bars,
the whole
man.
Black tie thing working for him, so he does that. But Trey Songz, like, I agree. You need to find one lane and stick to it. Stick to what you know, bro. That's why I can respect Music Soulchild so much, because he's never switched up. And not all his music is great, but he's never switched up.
Yeah, that last album he put out was questionable.
Yeah, it was. But maybe it's one of those albums like, hey, I haven't put out nothing in a while, so I'm going to see if I still can generate some album sales. And lo and behold, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't at all, man. So this part of the show, I want to kind of introduce some SoundCloud artists, some artists that... I won't say SoundCloud. I feel like that has such a negative connotation. Let me say artists.
Right.
Let me say artists that aren't mainstream and aren't super well known. Yeah. So I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's I'm one of those people. For me, a lot of times I like to go on SoundCloud and search for new music, even Apple Music. You know, I just go in there and search for new stuff to listen to, and I find a lot of dope music like that. Like, I don't really listen to a lot of stuff that other people listen to that's hot. Like. So for this week's episode, I guess we'll say unknown artist is Daniel Caesar. Like, okay. This dude has some dope music, man. Y'all definitely gotta go check him out. He got a few little mixtapes and, you know, EPs here and there, but all of it is great music, man. Trust me, it's great stuff. So check out Daniel Caesar. My favorite song of his right now is "Get You." Got a nice little visual to it on YouTube as well. So, man, definitely check that out. Let me see if I can play a little bit of that too. Nah, I won't play it. It'll be a little. I'll probably add it in there. I'll edit that in there a little bit. So, you got your unknown artist you want to give a shout out to?
I actually do have an unknown artist. He's been working for a while. And, he stopped doing music, but he started again. And his name is Nino Magzoon. I'm not sure if you guys would know what that means, because to this day, I still don't know what it means. But he has a song that's called Love Yourself. And the song is so powerful, because when you think of these unknown artists trying to create a buzz, they'll get on and they'll tend to disrespect women, thinking that's their lane to go in. But this man put out a song basically trying to unite self-love. And when I heard it, it's more so of an R&B song he's harmonizing on it. But there's no auto-tune. It's all his sound. But I like it because the message in it.
Yeah, I love artists who just kind of stay true to who they are.
Stay true to who you are. That's what it's all about these days, man. It's okay to experiment to a certain extent, though.
Yeah, you got to keep that to a minimum, man. Because right. Then you end up sounding crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, definitely go check out those artists. Thank y'all for listening to the first episode of Debate the Music. I'm your host, Chris. Find me on Twitter at I'm Just Greatness.
And I'm Pierre. Y'all can find me on Twitter, KingTail21.
All right, y'all, please go on iTunes, subscribe, 5-star rating, review, everything. Thank you.
Thank y'all.